This show is brought to you by The Makery, the podcast network for makers.
Guys, what's going on? It's Knife Talk. We're back, baby. Knife Talk is a podcast for knife makers, knife enthusiasts, DIYers. Anybody who wants to listen to three guys just, you know, talking about knife making and life and everything else and taking your questions. I'm Jeff Fader from Fader Knives. I'm here with Mareko Momasi, Momasi Fire Arts, and Craig Lockwood of Chop Knives and the 355s. We're here every Monday except for the last two. And how are you guys?
Good.
Don't even
know how to ask weather.
I've escaped the hot weather. I'm in the UK for about 8 weeks now. And it's a lot cooler, thankfully. A lot cooler.
Yeah. Well, how's everybody's last 2 weeks have been? Just to let the audience know, I got a lot of messages wondering where we are and is everything okay and are you coming back? And we took a couple weeks off. 2 weeks ago, I was running out to Spain. And then last week, everyone had a lot of stuff going on and figured, let's just take a couple weeks, summer break. We're back.
Yeah, we've done it every year. Every year we take 2 weeks off the summer anyway.
Yeah, we say we do.
Well,
we're saying we do now.
We should. We deserve it.
We should. Yeah. No, we have done in the past. We have done. It's been a bit crazy for me. So I'm in the UK, as I say, here for 8 weeks all in all. It's been a mad few weeks. So each weekend it's just been a lot going on, and it is for the foreseeable as well. So the weeks I'm just here with the kids while my wife works, then on the weekend I've generally got gigs or, you know, we're going to shows or this, you know, we're basically, there's something booked every weekend, and it's been a bit mad. So all good.
Did you ever think, maybe let's just say 4 years ago, 5 years ago, that you'd be in this position right now?
No, but it's a bit, I've led about 18 different lives, I think, so I try not to think too much about the future anyway.
And then you were also at the Oasis show.
Yes. Oh, yeah. So that was the first weekend. So it was their very first show, which happened to be in my hometown in Cardiff too. So they're doing two nights. Virtually impossible to get tickets for these things. People were paying thousands of pounds. It was crazy. Managed to get one for me and my wife for the first night. We sort of knew it was happening before they'd announced via sort of friends within the camp. So we managed to book hotels like a year ago.
Oh, wow.
So we were right in it. But when we got to the hotel, we were like, oh, we don't have the kids. Wouldn't it be great to have like two nights away? So I said, I'll ask the hotel, thinking there's no way in the world because they've been pre-booked for a year, you know? And they were like, well, actually, we have had a cancellation, but it's £1,500 for the night. So we're like, no way. Everybody just inflated their prices crazy,
right?
Because it's a busy weekend. We were like, well, there's no way we're paying that, you know, that's ridiculous. Anyway, we go up to our suite, our little room thing, and we get a phone call from the manager saying, we see you've stayed here a few times before. We'd love you to give the night for our normal price. We were like, yep, we'll take it. So that was that was a great start to the weekend.
That's great.
We were then drinking all day, got in, saw the show, which was just like, I had very high expectations and I was willing to be let down a bit, you know, but it was beyond anything.
Really?
Best show I've ever seen. It was just incredible. And then, so wake up the next morning, we're still buzzing. The whole city is buzzing. I mean, I've never seen anything like it. It was just unbelievable. And I get a phone call from my mate Nick, who was a Oasis producer back in the day. He's like, do you want to come tonight too? I've got a ticket. I was like, yes. Like from management. And I'm like, yes, definitely. So we go and we had, you know, the whole VIP treatment and all the rest of it. But Amy was like, he only had one ticket. And Amy's like, you know what? I'm going to go again. I'm going to look on the secondhand market. And she managed to get one. Crazy expensive. But she's like, well, it was so good last night. Last opportunity. I'm going to go as well. So sorry, this is a long story.
No, go ahead.
But anyway, she buys the ticket literally last minute. Scans her way through the gates, gets in the gates, and within about 10 seconds of that happening, it flashes up on her phone that her ticket had been disabled.
And it's like, oh, no. Oh.
She's like, well, I'm in now. I'm in. So I'm going in. So obviously she went in. So, and again, phenomenal show. It was just unbelievable. The next day, I said, well, let's take a screenshot of where it says your screen is disabled. And Viagogo, who's the ticketing agent, let's send them that and say, look, my ticket was disabled. I couldn't get in.
Oh, you piece of shit. You.
No, wait for this. Wait for this.
You are unbelievable. And
so she gets a full refund.
Get
so like
out
this is
here.
Like a green light weekend. Everything is just working and everything is just perfect.
That is unbelievable.
So we were extremely lucky. We both went to both nights. Extremely lucky. And it honestly was I'm still getting over it now. And it was what 2 weeks ago now.
That's like a traveler thing, isn't it? To do that? Didn't you give him the old whoopsie? You gave him the old whoopsie daisy, didn't you?
But what
these are your friends. These are your guys. You know these guys.
No. Amy's ticket was from a ticketing, you know, a proper ticketing place. Mm-hmm. They only had one ticket that I could have. So
look at you.
Yeah, so the second night you guys were not sitting near each other, or how did that work?
For the second night we weren't. Yeah. No.
Wow.
But yeah, it was just crazy. And then last weekend, we had a gig of our own with the band. The biggest crowd we've ever had is 10,000 people. It was
Holy shit.
And then we had like a sign-in session the next day in a big record store and played an acoustic show. It was a proper pretend you're a rock star weekend, you know. It was fantastic.
And now
we're coming to the end of this week. So yeah, it's been bad. It's been mad. Really good.
Did you guys get any video of the acoustic set?
We did, yes, somewhat. Yeah, I'm sure it's probably on our socials, I would have thought.
Oh, nice.
HMV, they're like the big high street retailer for record store, you know, in the UK. Mm-hmm. So playing that and, you know, getting people queuing up the door for signatures and stuff. It's just like, do you realise I'm going back to like looking after the kids tomorrow kind of thing, you know? It's been absolutely. Oh, and we bought our boat as well.
Oh, what a life.
Yeah, it's
Go
been.
Go ahead.
It's
What's
been
the name of the boat?
Hannah.
Aww.
Hannah. She already named it. It's bad luck to rename a boat. It's a bit of a shit name, but it is what it is. It's been a mad one. So Amy's away again. Weirdly, she's in Paris, and we're over here in the UK. But I pick her up from the airport tomorrow. So, it's been good. Been good. Busy, but good.
Wow.
What a life. It's unbelievable.
Rockstar lifestyle. Well, and I think I saw a post that you put up, Craig. It looked like maybe you were like, whatever, 4 or 5 meters from the stage.
On the first night, yes. Yeah.
Oh my God.
So that, again, tough. That was another crazy thing. So we'd gone to the hotel and we went to go get some drinks. And there's this guy walking, and the whole streets are just buzzing. It was just full, all the streets. Mm-hmm. And this guy just came up to us and said, are you going tonight? We were like, yeah. He said, but if you go down to gate one now, they're giving out armbands for the first 5,000 people. So you'll be at the front. We're like,
oh, I see. So you had GA tickets.
Yeah. And I'm like, am I too old for this shit? And Amy's like, let's just do it. So we did. So we were literally at the barrier and it was going off. That was the first night.
Wild.
The second night where we had the tickets from management, we were sort of raised. Liz Hurley was about three steps down from me as well.
She's unbelievable. She's
still
unbelievable.
Still is. And I think she's like 60, something like that. Yeah. But anyway.
Look at you.
Yeah. It's been a crazy few days. But anyway, we're what? 9 minutes in, and it's all about
right,
my weekend,
so we can't hear. We've been away for 2 weeks, for Christ's sakes. We can't spare you 9 minutes.
Yeah,
it's fine.
True. Jeff,
so
what's been going on with
wait
you?
Wait a second, hold the phone. When you're in the middle of that spot, when you're like in the arm area, where do you, can you go to the bathroom, or you got to hold it?
Oh, geez, no, you can't go. You can't move. You're like a sardine.
What the fuck do you do? Because I know you're drinking a lot of beer, and you're like, you know, you have the little catheter down the leg, or what
they
are you
used. There used to be this thing at gigs where people would just literally piss in a pint glass and throw the glass. Well, it would be a plastic cup, you know, and they'd throw the plastic cup of piss.
Get the fuck out of here.
Gross.
Oh, that was a big, big thing. But thankfully, I think people have grown up and a bit out of that now. So I didn't get covered in piss. But yeah, if you need to go, yeah, you'd basically have to fight your way out, and you'd never get back, you know. So yeah.
Oh, you know what? I would just be like the whole time. I would be just conscientious of like, I gotta be near a bathroom. I can't be. You know, I can't. What do I gotta? I mean, you know, I can't handle it. There's a deep cut. Howard Stern. Some of our audience might hear this. There's a guy by the name of Richard Christie. He's on the Howard Stern show, and he's a huge metalhead, and he would talk about wearing diapers to concerts because he just could not. You know, he wanted to drink, but he didn't want to have to go to the bathroom, and he just wore sit in them diapers.
Oh my god!
But then I got to the next day, it felt like I'd been at war.
Yeah,
all my joints. I was just like, I'm way too old for this shit. Way too old. Then you get a phone call. Do you want a ticket for tonight? I'm like, yeah, yeah.
Got a rally.
Yeah, it was crazy. Crazy.
Mareko, how have you been?
I've been good. Mostly, I've been. I got a lot of stuff happening, kind of, I think I mentioned before, kind of going on in my personal life. So I've been managing that. I have been getting ready for, as we're recording now, I'm flying out to Minneapolis in a couple days to go do a demonstration at it, like a fundraising event. I'll be there with my friends, Rich Patterson and Jason Krause. And we're just gonna be hanging out at this kind of like burger festival thing happening in Minneapolis at a local brewery there, and then on Monday, that's on Sunday, because the goal is for it to be kind of geared towards the industry, like food industry peoples, and then on Monday I'm gonna be over at Vivrant, which is a kitchen knife store. It's over in Edina, which is like a suburb of Minneapolis. It's a really nice kind of affluent area. And so I'm going to be doing kind of a little bit of like an interview style meet the maker kind of situation. Oh, cool. There's kind of limited space. And actually, if people are hearing this Monday morning and you're in the area, there's still time to register probably and come and be part of the event and join in and kind of hang out for the conversation and just meet. Yeah. And
so is this like a Q&A, or will you be making there as well?
No, it's just going to be a Q&A. So yeah. I'll be sitting down with the owner. The owner has a background in kind of in marketing and business and stuff like that. So he's going to have kind of a two chairs kind of at the front of some portion of the space and some mics going, and we're just going to chat and jam and answer people's questions and talk about custom knife making industry, talk about kind of the stuff we got going on, the process, and you know how it's been challenging to you know do our work and sell our work, and kind of just talking about all that kind of in general, but just trying to help people gain a better grasp and understanding around the handmade side of things, because you know, so many people see the commercially manufactured stuff, and those companies have big marketing budgets, and they're used to those prices. So I think more than anything, it's trying to help people better understand, maybe a little bit like the value in handmade things, in regards to custom knives, culinary knives, but also our difficulty in being able to connect with people. So it should be good. And then,
so you're telling the story around handmade stuff, I suppose.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
You should totally call it Handmaid's Tale.
Handmaid's Tale. Oh,
should totally do that.
Unbelievable.
Praise be.
Praise be. I haven't seen that series yet, so I don't know what you're referring to.
Okay, we'll talk about later. Okay.
Yeah, and but it's kind of be kind of a whirlwind thing. So I'm there for. Let's see, I fly out Saturday night. I arrive Sunday morning. The event on Sunday is at noon, so I'm driving straight there, forging for a few hours, and then hopefully just chilling out the rest of the evening and having some good food, and then I got the thing the next evening, and then I fly back out. Cool. Yeah, and then otherwise, I've just been working on regular knife stuff, getting stuff out the door, and goddamn, the weather's been so damn hot. It's hard to be in the shop, and I don't really have good ventilation, or I have some. I guess I have ventilation fans, but I don't have any good way or reasonable way to try to stay cool in the shop. So I've actually been trying to get in there a little bit earlier sometimes, to kind of beat the heat, because otherwise, like, it's fucking hellacious to be in that shop right now.
Yeah,
Yeah, we're hitting some silver, yesterday we
take
hit
some
94.
Silver spoons in with you.
Yeah.
Yeah, silver spoons and fucking zinc.
Yeah. It's hot. Yeah. It's hot, baby. It's hot.
It's hot. What about you, Jeff?
I could use a day. After we last we spoke, I ran over to Spain. I flew out to Spain and had a great time at Florentine Kitchen Knives. We had some knife talk guys there. Our man Jake from Reno was there, and we had a good time. We had a great time with Tomer and his family, and spent some time with him. And I spent time with his sharpening pro, who's an awesome guy, and we just had a good time. I always have a good time with Tom. We've been doing it now 6 years.
Six years?
Yeah. Yeah.
Holy shit.
Wow.
And it's been really great. And it's been like a really, for me, it's been really great in terms of just kind of talking to someone who's a business acumen I really appreciate. So he kind of asks me tough questions and he pushes me in good ways. And he also gives me confidence to make mistakes in business. Like, I think that the weird thing is like, especially with our listeners and the questions that they ask us, everyone is afraid to make mistakes. And he is very good about saying, let's, you know, you have to make, sometimes you have to make some educated leaps of faith. And sometimes you have to know when they're working and when they're not working. And if they're not working, you just kind of like say, okay, let's just do it a different way. So he's given, since I've known him, he's really given me a lot of confidence in order to be a leader and how to make mistakes and how to kind of pivot when you have to. And it's been a really like, it's been really great. Yeah. Got in there Friday. We went to our man Borja, who served up the fucking good. Super spoiled. I mean, it's just like, I mean, it's just, I'm super spoiled. And then we had the class Saturday, Sunday, and then I came home Monday. I really wasn't there for very long. Well, I also, and I mentioned this before, and I talk about it in great detail in the last episode of Full Blast, but my sister has gotten a very bad, my older sister Jenny has gotten a very bad diagnosis. And we're really like, as soon as I got off the plane back in New York, I ran down to spend some time with her in Florida. She wanted me to cook for her, so I cooked some food for her. And we just had a really nice time, and I'm probably going to go back in August and sometimes. But it's been like, you know, it's been go, go, go for the past, you know. This is something that we've known about for about 6 weeks. 2 months it's been bad, and then like the last 3 weeks it's been really like, you know, very definite. So it's been like one of those, you know, you get older and this is what happens. So it was a lot of, you know, good stuff. We flew our kid out from California to go see my sister, and we just spent the time there. And meantime, you were talking about how hot it is. I'm also training for the New York City Marathon, so I'm having to get out, do my miles early so I can, you know, be whatchamacallit. But, you know, look, we've been busy. We got our new collaboration with our man Bob back, a new another part of the set. And, you know, we cut loose some things. We recently, in the past 2 months, we got rid of our PR company, and we ended on good terms, but just wasn't working. And once again, making decisions and, you know, just deciding whether or not it's going to work or not. And after a year, we just kind of decided to part ways in a positive manner. And it's all good. So it's just, I'm looking for some peace. And my mother, right before I left, I can't go crazy, but I talk about it in a Full Blast, but my mother had surgery. She had fallen out of bed. She had surgery on her leg. She was pissed at me. So I talk about it on the Full Blast. She fucking lit me up. And she, and I don't mean to be, I'm going to do a gallows humor for the next few weeks because that's all I got. She didn't know who I am. So for the last 2.5 years, she thinks I'm her brother. So there's been a lot of like weird things that as the weeks go by, I'm going to have to figure out ways in which to kind of be funny about it. And, you know, it's like one of them things. So I could use a break, which is fine.
Yeah. Wow.
But in the meantime, we have a lot to get to. The past 2 weeks, we had a lot of messages of people wondering where we were. I'm going to give you guys a lot of room for fun. We have one round of a game show we have to play. We also have some new shit. We have all the snacks that people suggest Craig have when he's in the bath. If you listen to the last episode, Craig's got bath snacks. We have a whole list of bath snack recommendations for you. We also have, oh shit, I guess I shouldn't have done, I almost got in a lot of trouble. That was one thing. And then I also accumulated a list of microaggressions that knife makers get in their comments. Yes. Microaggressions people read in their comments. So
okay,
whatever okay. you guys want to do.
Well, I tell you what, let's start with just two or three questions. But before we do, we need to tell everybody all about Even Heat. If you're in the market for a kiln, any sort of heat treated procedure that you need to do, Even Heat are the way to do it. Even if you're just tempering, they've got special tempering ovens now as well. Evenheat-kiln.com. Go take a look. They've got so many different models. They've got something for everybody. And if you're going to be doing it, you might as well use the best. Evenheat-kiln.com. Okay, Justin Stinson, our gold star.
Your check, your cooperative. As a farmer-owned lender, Farm Credit Mid-America shares the success of the cooperative with our customers, which is why we've returned more than $1.5 billion back to our customer owners over the last 9 years. It's proof being a part of our cooperative pays. Patronage is an annual decision made by the board of directors to return earnings to eligible customers. To learn more about patronage and eligibility, visit fcma.com/patronage.
Star listener, one of our gold star listeners,
newly quick minted question.
Newly minted, yes, newly he says minted. Quick question, what's the fastest way to scuff up G10 liners before gluing them to scales? I'm currently just using my flat surface with 80 grit sandpaper and it's annoying. I mean, that's it, surely that's the fastest. It's pretty quick.
I'll tell you what the best way to do is, if you guys got to start buying G10 and sheets. Because when you get them slips, it's terrible. It's like you're getting ripped to the nines. What you do is when you get the sheets, the first thing you do before you cut anything is get a palm sander, and then just goose a palm sander on the whole thing before you cut anything down. And you've done it. All you need to do one side. You just do one side, and you're done with it. But I'm going to tell you something you should do. When you get sheets of G10, there'll be a sticker on the top, and it'll say the type of G10 it is, and it'll show the thickness, and it'll say all the information that you need. Don't scuff that side. Scuff the other side. So then you know exactly what material you have and that you're not cut, and you leave that sticker end as the last piece you cut. So then you know what you got. But the palm sander is the move, because when you try to do it on a disc sander, you're always going to end up bending or if you use it on your grinder, you're going to bend the G10, you're going to hit the corners, you're not going to hit the middle.
Yeah.
You want to make sure you're scuffing it up so you get all the shiny part off. You want to make sure you hit the whole thing. So 80 grit on a palm sander is your fastest move.
Nice. What grit are you using?
For the palm sander?
Yeah.
80 is fine. I mean, if I'm laminating scales together, I don't need to go crazy.
Okay.
I just want to make sure that there's some purchase for the CA glue or the epoxy. I'm not going crazy, especially if I'm doing scales. I don't want it to be too, you know, gougy.
Right. So you're just making sure that the whole surface is scuffed up, but you're not spending all day there.
No. I'm taking off anything that's shiny.
Yep.
Because the shiny stuff is the stuff that don't want to stick. Like, I want to get in there. So I'm just taking, if it's shiny, if it's not shiny, get rid of it. But the palm sander is going to give you your flattest way to do it and the fastest way.
Okay, and then are you leaving the dust? Do you clean that off before you
clean it off? I clean it off.
I just want to be clear for people.
No, of course. Yeah. I mean, yeah, doesn't do any good.
Dust and debris.
Yeah.
Yeah. No, that's all I got. I don't do a lot of, like, scale liners, but when I'm gluing up spacers for my handles, kind of between the integral bolster to the handle block, I usually am stacking up like a G10 and some sort of metal spacer, like sandwiching the metal spacer between two pieces of G10. And I used to do like this elaborate shit with like tape on the back of the spacer, and I would scuff it up against a flat surface. But I realized that I'm not making a fucking career out of sanding this thing. I just needed to scuff it up. So I just do it by hand now. And so I'll cut it out. I'll do it either way, but I'll either scuff it up before I cut it off the sheet, or I'll cut it off the sheet and then I'll scuff it up. But I'm just doing it really quick. And it, because I'm not making a career out of it, you know, it's not really messing up kind of like the flatness to a place where it's going to have a difficult time attaching, or like, I guess the glue being able to purchase and attach to the materials. And so That's my move. But yeah, it used to be a huge pain in the ass, kind of cutting down those little spacers and sanding them and them slipping and fucking sanding the edge of my fingers off and shit like that. So now I just hold it in place with one hand and sand it with the other.
Yeah, we just as soon as it comes in, one side goes, and then you just put it away, and then you set it and forget it.
Yeah, yeah, nice.
Yeah. It's probably worth mentioning as well that maybe you should do, whether you do it by hand, if you're using obviously a palm sander, the random orbital sander, it'll be all sort of all over the shop anyway. But if you're doing it by hand, go one way, turn it 90 degrees, then go the other way. So you get this like diamond effect. It'll just help with sort of keying.
Cross hatching.
Yes, exactly. Yeah.
Look at you. Look at you. Doubling it up.
There we go. There we go. Who's taking the next?
All right. This one is from Bram Mullen. Mullen shot.
Yeah, I think you got it. You got it. I was hoping for a Benjamin Cocker, but you didn't.
Massive fumble.
You totally let me down. I was really hoping you weren't going to get it.
I'm getting better. I'm getting better. You are. I'm trying. Hey guys, question for the pod. I got a pretty big bend in the tip of a knife. 95% of the finish grinding is done, so there's not much material to play with. Is it possible to get it back straight by tempering in a vise, or are there other options? Thanks, Bram. What do you guys think?
I once learned, so I remember one of the first ways I learned how to fix a temper was to heat the knife up in the temper oven, and then as soon as it's done, you put the vise, and then you have a couple of pins, and then you hurry up and try to overcorrect it. I hate that shit. I hate tempering quickly. I hate trying to bend quickly. I have been using the carbide straightening hammers a lot. I got mine from Gamaco, but you could definitely get yours from our guy Kyle Daly. I know he makes them, and I'm sure you could probably get them at Maritime Knife Supply. They're really good, and you'd be surprised. I've used them not up until hand sanding, but like right before. So those, I think they work great. And I also think that if you're 95% there, you could always shim temper. If you're 95%, you still have to do it as long as you don't beat the brakes off of it. Shim tempering is, in my opinion, is the safest way to fix a warp.
I'm just wondering, because he says 95% finished grinding. So I assume that the knife was straight before he started grinding. So he's hardened. Now he's grinding.
Right.
I'm just wondering whether it's just that grind isn't straight. It's not an even grind as opposed to an actual bend in the blade. Or maybe he's heated up a bit much as he's grinding. I don't know. It's just weird that it says 95% of the finished grinding is done. This has obviously happened whilst grinding.
It's not just a knife making issue in metal working in general. When you heat one side up, it's going to warp. I mean, that's welding. Yeah. That's like, and we used to fit when we had to finish handrails and stuff like that. We would put under a stroke sander, which is just like a giant version of a 2x72. We'd heat one side up and it would bow. And then my boss would say, just heat the other side up. Just hit the other side the same way and then you'll pull it out.
I'm wondering whether he's doing one side to a scribed line or something,
right,
then do it complete and then go on the other side. If that is the case, try, either side, and keep the temperatures as even as possible.
Sure.
What do you think, Greco?
Yeah, a couple of different things I've done in the past, because I have come up against this, either because the blade has warped in the finish grinding, or because, for whatever reason, I wasn't paying enough attention, and I ground the blade off-center. And so the first way, which is kind of crude, is using like a handheld like torch. It's sketchy though because, so using a handheld torch and heating up the area of the blade where you want to, at the spine, where you want to try to make the correction. Now, the reason it's sketchy is because at this point, at 95%, basically almost all the finish grinding almost done, your cross section is probably pretty thin, so the thermal mass out there is there's not that much, it's very little, and so that heat can transfer down to the edge very quickly. But I have thankfully, successfully heated that area very carefully with a torch. I usually have the torch slight. I don't have it shooting perpendicular to the blade. I usually have it angled off. So I'm kind of shooting towards the spine, and then that flame is running off the spine of the blade. But very slowly and carefully heating that area. And then honestly, I just kind of very gently push against some sort of flat surface, whether it's a wooden surface or like my anvil or whatever. Or even some vices have a little flat workspace behind the actual jaws of the vise. Just something to push against so that I can leverage and try to straighten that out. Now I'm doing very gentle pushing because I want to work up to that rather than just jam on it, go too far, and then have to correct it the other direction, right? Kind of a little bit safer way to do that, to introduce that heat, is if the handle scales or handle isn't already attached, if it's just the steel at this point, putting it back in the kiln, heating it up. You can, I think, trying the shim temper is a great approach, but the way I've never done a shim temper. What I've done is just heat the whole blade like to a temper and basically do a full on tempering cycle again. But while the blade is hot, pull it out. Obviously wear tongs or wear gloves or whatever you need. And that way you've safely introduced that heat in a very controlled way. Takes a little bit more time, but in a controlled way, and do the same thing and gently pry on it and push, the blade against the surface to kind of flex that tip, to try to get that, bend gently corrected. Ideally, obviously you want it fully corrected, but even if you're within like, you're like 90% of the way there, I would say call it good, because if you want, you can keep, it takes a lot of time or it can take a lot of time. I've spent hours kind of fucking around back and forth with torches or kilns trying to get things, straightened out. And at a certain point you just have to kind of call it good. Yeah, that would be, those are the couple options that if I was in that situation, I would probably, honestly though, because I have a kiln now, I would try to take my time, try to be more patient, take my time and do it kind of the safer route and heat up the whole blade as long as the handle's not already attached to correct it.
There we go. Comprehensive answers.
Yep. Comprehensive.
Yes. Yeah. Okay. Enough about knives. What should I be eating in the bath?
Oh, that? Man. Oh, that's what you're going to go with? Okay. Guys, listen to me. Listen to me. If you want to send us submissions for listener feedback, for questions like our guys just did and more, we have more, including audio messages, you go to Knife Talk Podcast on Instagram. That's how you interact with us. So we have bath snacks. Our last episode, Craig admitted that he has a four-course meal in the bathtub. And I suggested to the listener that they send in their suggestions for what Craig should have while you're in a three-hour bath. I did listen back to that episode, and I did think that the sous vide wand was a very, very good idea. I don't know why you haven't figured that out yet, because that holds it. So, number one, this comes from, once again, our man Justin Simpson, GSL. Bath snack hack time. Ditch the bath salts and pour in some soy sauce. toss in a few sushi rolls on the tub edge and boom, sushi spa experience. You won't even have to look away from your show, just dip. Just swirl a piece right in the tub. Self-care at its finest. So you get
this
your...
is the kind of content people stick around for, I'm telling you.
Yeah. Oh my God. So that good job. Yeah, so they want you want to dip in your own swill. Next is from our man, Manny Fernandez. Manny Fernandez 858 says, I think Craig should be indulging in spaghetti and meatballs while in the bath.
Oh, yeah.
That's a suggestion.
Can you imagine? Jeez.
Speedster Stove says, here's some bath snack ideas. Those crispy coated peanuts, paprika fit flavor. But then you got to like wash your hands in the fucking water.
That's a lot of water.
Utensils. Use chopsticks.
It's like a piss in the sea. There's a lot of water. It's not going to make any difference.
So you're washing your hands in the water, in the bath water?
Damn straight.
Grotto. You get some of that asshole water.
You're like rubbing your hands against your hairy thighs. You get some of that
nipple water on your peanuts.
Nipple water.
And then Devin Sheridan said, here's a bath snack suggestion for Craig. Both water sounds like it's hot enough to cook the hot dogs. So toss a couple of the bath water.
There's a dirty water hot dog.
At the beginning and let them stew with you for 4, 6, or 8 minutes until they're done and you have fresh hot dogs. So he wants you Jesus to Christ. Cook your hot dogs in there with you.
Right next to my wife walking in. I've got these hot dogs just floating around
the
bus.
You know what the best would be? The best would be if you have those little hats. From like this, like one of those paper hats.
From the fucking fork. Rolling stand guy.
Yeah. And you had a little fork, and you forked one in the water, and then put a hot dog. You had a little soubrette sign over you. Oh my god,
brilliant!
So there you go. Start serving people. Hot dog, get your hot dog. Yeah.
Never mind. God. We got too gross. The next thing is now if we want to do a spot before the game show. If you want to do an ad spot.
Let me tell everybody, if you're out there, a lot of people listen to this show whilst they're working away, possibly hand sanding, hating life at the moment. I can make things a lot easier for you. Make sure you're using Indasa Rhino-Et. It's going to save you time, save you money. And we always say this, when it comes to, you know, you're making stuff, it's time. It's time that you need to be saving. But we can save you money. If you go to texasfarriersupply.com, not only do they have Indasa Rhino-Et, they have everything you could possibly need on your whole knife-making journey. Head to texasfarriersupply.com, use KnifeTalk10 as a promo code, and you will get 10% off your entire order. That includes your Indasa Rhino-Et. They've got all the grits you need. Head on over to texasfarriersupply.com.
That's what I'm using.
And Go ahead.
When Justin mentioned the whole like sushi and the soy sauce and the water, I went straight to imagining Craig sitting in a bath that's like built up like a whole fucking bowl of ramen.
Ew.
With like noodles and everything in there.
Sitting on a pad of noodles.
We did get a lot of floating across the top.
I will say that we did get a lot of images, AI images of you.
Oh, really?
In the bathtub. I am so against AI art, and people even wrote and they know how I feel about it. They were like, I know how you feel about this, but I couldn't resist. And it's always this. The worst part is it's always like, it doesn't really look like Craig. It's just some fat guy in a tub eating. And it's just like,
that's pretty much me.
That's insulting too. You know, it's like you pull, that's the prompt. Man in the bath having food. He's always got to be fat. Come on, man. So congratulations, guys. I was trying to think about other snacks. It is amazing that you can actually see. I would have a problem with like Dorito fingers or something like that, and then I'm just washing it off into the water.
I'm telling you guys, you gotta use utensils. Chopsticks.
Yeah, I think that Justin Simpson has the right idea about chopsticks, and you know, I could see, you know, room temperature California roll while you're sitting in the tub isn't the worst idea in the world.
Yeah, try it. Indulgent baths.
What's your laptop? Give me your top. What's your top three snacks, and we'll be done with it.
Grapes chips. Are always a good one.
Oh yeah, frozen grapes. You said frozen grapes.
Yeah, frozen grapes. We talked about crisps, as in really shitty. Salted crisps.
Right.
Charcuterie. Yeah, I've had all sorts.
Mm-hmm. What's the worst thing you've had in the tub? Fucking oysters.
Can you imagine?
You're fucking in there in the hot water. You're eating cold oysters. Oh my god. Barfaroni.
I'll come back to you on the worst. I'll come back to you on that.
All right. So the next thing we're going to do is this is called Craig's Great Idea. Okay. Now, we talked about this last week, and we made the joke of having knife makers send in two truths and a lie. So I've gleaned two truths from a couple knife makers, listeners of this podcast, and this is not from the news. This is our knife maker friends have sent us in. Two of them have sent a truth, and one of them has sent a lie. And I'm going to read them to you, and you two guys are going to decide which is the truth. And which is the lie, basically. Okay. You have to figure it out, okay?
We get it, yeah.
All right, you ready? Number one is, this is from one of our customers. Listeners, so I was making some custom ash wood baseball bats for a customer, and I brazed my maker's mark into the handle. And it was finished, except I needed to polish on the buffer, and the bat got caught up and was thrown right and hit me in the left nut. Ever since then, my buddies call me One Nut Joe. That's number one. So guys doing custom baseball bats, gets knocked in the nuts. Okay, one nut
joke. Believable.
Right?
Lost the nut. Yeah.
Number two is, I once sold two knives to a famous TV chef in the middle of a cooking demonstration. I was doing it in a hardware store, both of which he used on national television for years afterwards. Okay,
believable.
That's number
two.
Yeah. Okay. Believable too. And here's number three. A special effects team working on the new Friday the 13th movie needed to drill holes into a machete so they could mount it to one of the actors' heads for a scene, and they couldn't drill through the hardened steel, so they called me for advice. So you got three of them hitting the nuts. Baseball bat buffed. Buffing a baseball bat, and then he is on the buffer, get caught on the buffer and knocked him in the nuts. Mm. You got sold two knives to a famous TV chef in the middle of a cooking demonstration. He's used them for years. And Friday the 13th, a special effects team couldn't figure out how to drill holes in the machete, so they gave me a call.
I'm going to say the bat.
Yeah, the one nut Joe. Yeah, I agree.
Is that the final answer?
Final answer.
That's the false one is what you're saying.
Yes.
You're both saying one nut Joe is the false one.
Yeah.
You're both right. Wow.
We win.
You win. And I'll tell you what the best part was. The best part was the special effects from Friday the 13th was me, and it was 2 days ago.
Oh, really?
My friend Shane is a special effects guy. He's up in Canada. He's in New York. And I don't talk to him very often. I see him once in a while. He's my friend's brother-in-law. And we've known him forever. He calls me up and he says, Jeff, I'm in a pickle. We're on the new Friday the 13th movie, and we have to mount this machete to this actor's head. We've got to drill these holes, and we cannot drill the holes through the machete. And I said, well, why don't you just bring him up here? We'll take care of it. And he goes, well, no, he's got to be ready on the set in, you know, an hour and a half, and we just can't drill these goddamn holes.
Yeah.
And I said, well, here's what you do. And I told him, well, why don't you guys tell me what you would do. Guy's got to drill a couple holes in the machete. And I said to him, well, why did you use a real machete? Why don't you just use a fucking make a fake one? He's like, well, doesn't matter. We don't have time. Why are you asking me stupid questions, Jeff? So how would you do it? You know, I'm a lot of time, and this is not a metal shop. This is like a fucking FX shop.
Well, something I had to do just within the last year. I was making this Loveless replica, this Bob Loveless style semi-skinner knife. And it was stainless mosaic Damascus that I made with my friend Will Brigham. And I got it all like squared away and ground down and ready for heat treat. And I got ahead of myself and I completely forgot to drill the holes. Two holes for the rivet and one for the rivets and one for a lanyard hole. And I completely fucking forgot. Oh, actually, an additional hole actually for glue to pass through. So that didn't feel good because I had to fucking figure out what the hell to do because it was hardened CPM 154.
That's real Bob Loveless steel. That's what he likes.
Yeah, CPM 154 and AEBL, and both are fully hardened in the tang. And so what I ended up doing is, for my quick fix, was to go down to the Lowe's, and not a sponsor, by the way. And I got some
lest you forget, listeners.
Yeah, and I got some of those brazed carbide tip drill bits that are used for like drilling concrete and glass and shit. You can find them over in the hardware department. But anyways, it was like $26, $30 or something like that for a set of drill bits. And the hardest part, the trickiest part, was putting a dimple in this steel so that I had a pilot, kind of like a dimple, a pilot is kind of like a starting point.
Right.
Otherwise, it's so fucking hard, the drill bit would just slide all over the fucking place.
Walk all over the place, yeah.
Yeah. So I used my Dremel, or my rotary tool, with a Dremel.
Definitely not sponsored by those guys.
Definitely not sponsored. No, I used my, actually it was my Fordham. I used the Fordham with a diamond ball tip and put a little dimple right in the spot where I needed it to be. And then I followed it first with an 1/8 inch drill bit which blew. I got through the steel, but it blew out the fucking bit.
Right.
And then destroyed the bit. You cannot expect to reuse these bits, please. Yeah. And then I followed that with a 3/16. And that was what I needed for both the rivet holes, but the lanyard hole was a full on quarter of an inch. So I went, I basically ended up having to buy a full set for each hole. And so I stepped it from eighth inch to 3/16 to 1/4 to get the lanyard hole drilled. But I was able to drill through all of them through hardened stainless, CPM 154 and AUBL mix.
These guys didn't have time to do that. So
really?
They're on a fucking.
They couldn't run to the hardware store.
They were in like a time crunch. You know, they had to use the tools they had. Okay. So what I told them to do is because they were work hardening and they were trying to run these drill bits through this fucking hardened machete, and I said, well, you're probably work hardening the material and making it harder, and you're going to just destroy every bit you got. And I said, so get yourself a torch and then just heat up. And I explained tempering and I explained kind of, you don't have to get it red hot, but you want to start to figure out the concept of annealing it, getting it hot enough that it just slowly, slowly kind of de-hardens. And then that's what they did. And then I told them about the carbide bits. So they didn't have time to get them. Okay. Obviously they're going to, you know, they just need to get through it. Yeah. So I had them heat it up with some plumber's torches, and then they just let it cool down, and then they drilled the holes. It wasn't easy, but they got through it, and then they just kind of sat and finished the machete back. But it was cool because this is going to be for, you know, Jason. This is going to be a part of Jason. So they sent me a nice message back. But I thought I was going to say that in the beginning, but I thought that would be better for this. And then I must say that the first one, One Nut Joe, is Manny Fernandez 858. Hey Manny, you're One Nut Joe from now on, my guy. If I can remember it, trust me, you are One Nut Joe. And then number two, respect. Manny has always been good for. He sends a lot of stuff in, so respect. And then I sold two knives to a famous TV chef in the middle of a cooking demonstration. It was Ronald Handmade? Handmade out in Australia. He got that special situation, and congratulations to our contestants.
That's great. I have a question about the torch trick. So I've done that with carbon steel, but from what I understand about stainless, it wouldn't work, which is why I didn't go that route with the stainless. Have you done it with stainless?
I haven't had to do that in general. I tell you what I do if our holes aren't, if our holes are hardened and they're not working, is I get the diamond bits for a not a Dremel, but there's one this, you know, with the machine that you used with the buffer years ago when you were at my shop. What's that called again?
The die grinder.
Die grinder. So you can get die grinder bits. And they're fucking great. And then you put the die grinder. I would think that would be, if you can get a small hole and you need to just bump the hole easy, die grinder bits, get the quarter inch shaft and stick it in your drill press. They're unbelievable. They go through hardened stainless easy. I use those now, but for this situation, it's not like Jason had to use this machete to clear some grass. You know what I mean? It was like, this was just like, they just need to get some holes so they could pop some whatever. So they could, and then I'll send you a screenshot. They put a thing. This was meant to also be go on somebody's head. This was not.
The integrity of the heat treat was not important.
Yeah. No. Here, I'll send this to you.
Okay.
Okay, so whatever you guys want to do, you can go back to questions. We have listener feedback.
Let's do a couple of questions. First of all, Jeff, tell everybody all about your grinder.
Oh, dude, I got the Broadbeck Ironworks 2x72 is unbelievable, and it's great, and I use it all the time. If you go to BroadbeckIronworks.com, you can put in promo code KNIFETALK10, and you get 10% off something. I think I'm sure I'm sure I was doing too many things at the same time, but I am a huge fan of Broadbeck. Their machines are great, and then their customer service is even better. I'm a big fan of those guys, and you're talking about small manufacturing and doing such a great job with it. It didn't get much better than those guys, so I highly suggest BroadbeckIronworks.com for all your grinding needs, attachments, power hammers, all that stuff.
Yeah. You just sent through that picture, and they sent that at 4 a.m. What?
No, no, not 4 a.m. No, it wasn't 4 a.m. It was it wasn't 4 a.m. It was 10. It was 10:45.
That's when you took the screenshot. Ah, okay.
Yeah, 10:45 a.m. He said he was freaking. He was freaking. They got it all squared away.
Nice.
And then I'll send you another one. It says Jason on all his victims. Thank you. So
you want to make sure in the credits now. As yeah,
that's okay.
The consultant,
the softening guy.
Yeah, no, yeah. This guy Shane's done a lot of stuff. He's worked on a lot of crazy movies, and it's been really kind of cool to see. So, okay, well, we have questions. We also have listener feedback, and tell me what you want to do.
Okay,
and we also have microaggressions. We have microaggressions. If you want to save it for next week, we'll do that.
Let's do a little listener feedback, and then I think we've got an audio question from Bram.
Okay, guys, little announcement. STP Custom Knives has the Louisiana Custom Knife Show September 13th and 14th in Gonzales, Louisiana. LACustomKnives.net for information. Can Iron is August 7th through 8th in Austin, Manitoba. Our man Maritime Knife Supply is one of the sponsors, so many thanks to him. Go to caniron.ca for tickets and more. And
a lot of great presenters at that event, by the way.
Yeah, yeah. Leah Arapach, Pat Quinn, Jake James, Noah Vachon, and many, many more. And then there's David Cramp has to tell me that is telling you that the Grand Knife Adventure is an exclusive slip joint gathering. The second annual Grand Knife Adventure is set for November 7th. Oh, I'm going to talk about November 7th and 8th in New River, Arizona. It's an intimate event designed for connect passionate collectors and enthusiasts.
That is the right time to go visit Arizona, by the way.
Oh, yeah. Good, good, good.
They're like 120 degrees right now.
This year's curated lineup includes award winners such as Evan Nicolatis, Daniel Cohn, David Cramp, Riadin Gatrell, among other well-known makers. I'm ruining their names. I'm sorry. bath snacks. That was almost bad, and we'll save that for next. We have best of submissions, and here we go with Double Dog Forge. Hey guys, I have some listener feedback and a question. Listener feedback: over the past couple of years, I've noticed that you guys are slowly changing my go-to mannerisms. The one that probably pops up the most is where I would normally have said holy hell, typically in my head, as it pops up a lot when I'm teaching. It's now replaced with fucking hell, Mary Poppins, in my worst British accent. I look forward to listening to the new one every week. That is a deep cut. That was from the first All Beef review.
Yeah.
Of All Beef review, where a guy was had a special accent, and then Craig said, fucking hell, Mary Poppins. Brian here says, a real weird hot take grinding in the shop tonight. First time using the 1-inch scallop belts from Broadbeck for handle contouring. And when putting it on, it felt like I was putting a thong on the grinder. Just funny. That's funny. Not sure where my mind is and probably need to get out of the shop, but I had to pass on that weird shop thoughts. Listening to the podcast with a 1-inch belt does wonders. So get your thong on, baby. That's what they should call them things. You know, if you need to get your thongs, go to Maritime Knife Supply. Get the 1-inch thongs. And then Hutch Made Knives says, more of a comment for the community rather than a question. Recently, I invested in a 3-inch VersaFlow powered air respirator. Been interested in those for a while for safety and comfort. You know what I'm talking about, right, guys?
Yeah,
it's
yeah.
the head, it's the astronaut's it's helmet with the tube going down your waist. I can tell you they have one major design flaw that we all know where this is going. Yes, you wear the filter unit like a fanny pack, and the intake sits about 4 inches from your butthole. This means that if you fart, it sucks it right up and blows it straight in your face. I'm over here trying to keep my grind line straight while I'm literally farting in my own face. It's hard to see straight through the tears. Nobody told me about this fun little feature when I asked around. Maybe nobody else farts stink.
All our pervert listeners now are like, what's the model number again?
Oh, this is great. Just what I always wanted. I know I could be the, like, you could be your own perverted, like, astronaut. If you get one of those units, I highly recommend an organic vapor cartridge. It's worth it.
There should be an organic diet.
No, that's worse. Than organic diet.
I was just gonna say there's a lot more fiber.
you're gonna be tooting up a storm. You're passed out. Can you imagine? Here's would be the great. By the way, we finished watching Department Q. Have you watched Department Q on Netflix?
No.
It's a must watch. It's a mystery in Scotland, and it's a complete fantastic on Netflix. Department Q. It's fantastic.
Okay.
This would be a perfect cold case story. Guy hadn't seen for a guy in a long time. And all of a sudden, the landlord knocks on the door, and he's on a VersaFlow, and he's dead. He's dead in the thing. And it's like the whole
death
season.
Death by methane.
He's completely looking at his receipts. All you see, the McDonald's receipts, even Taco Bell, even you know, like stuffing himself with stuff. And next thing you know, he killed himself from his own farts. And that would be the murder mystery.
Brilliant.
This one comes from Russ B. Long, hello, fellas. Russ B., longtime listener and hobbyist, slicey tool wannabe. My day job is a public school music educator. While listening to the June 9th show, old Jazzy Jeff was talking about the future of AI, where people seek out human-made products like knives and art. I have thought about this often, specifically with AI music being created and how people, even today, might prefer to go out and see live music, knowing good and well they might not sound smoking until everyone's had a few rounds of beer. We 80s and 90s kids are all quick to go full John Connor on the AI rabbit hole. That's a Terminator reference. But I'm hopeful it guides people towards appreciating the imperfections of human craft. Not an excuse to produce trash. Absolutely do your best work, but perhaps it will one day open up the door to a deeper appreciation for unique handmade pieces. Much love, Ross B. Dude, the AI stuff is like getting fast and furious. Mark Adams is sending me shit every day. It's just like, bro,
oh, really?
Take a break from that phone of yours, Mark Adams, respectfully. my boy is on the phone all the time. I mean, he's my guy. Mark Adams takes the great pictures of all of us. But he's freaking out about the AI. And I actually had a tattoo artist friend of mine come into the shop, and AI is destroying the tattoo industry, too.
Really?
Because people don't have to fucking draw anymore. You can just put a prompt in. I want to make a tattoo of this and that and the other thing, and then ChatGPT puts it through. The other thing is, and Craig, you probably know this, is I was showing some writing to my man Tomer Botner that somebody had done, and I was like, isn't this a good writer? And he goes, you can see the prompts where they put it through ChatGPT. You can see these particular dashes are all this writing is now getting flushed through ChatGPT to kind of zhuzh it up.
Interesting.
Big problem. Big problem.
Mm. Yeah.
Big problem.
With a tattoo artist, you still need the artist, though, to put the art on your body,
right? Not to do the original drawing.
That's only half the job.
I mean,
isn't
it's
it,
like you're. Yeah. I mean, once you. I mean, I'm not. Trust me, all I got friends are tattooists. But I mean, the real best part is. I mean, you talk to real tattoo artists; they'd rather just be painting. They don't necessarily want to do the tattooing part.
Sure.
They'd rather just be painting on a canvas.
That's true. I think all the tattoo artists I know do a lot of actual painting or drawing.
Yeah.
Like physical art.
Yeah, that's in their free. I mean, I think that if you talk to, and I think we probably have some tattoo artists if you could say to a tattoo artist, all right, here's your choice. You can paint or you can be a tattooist and the money's the same. I bet a lot of them would be like, I don't think I'd rather paint.
Yeah.
You know, you don't have to deal with people. And then all of a sudden you don't have to do the whole, because that's why all these people come up to these tattoo artists and they say, hey, I want you to do this thing that looks like this guy. And half these young kids are going on ChatGPT, having them just, they're hung over or whatever, and they don't want to deal. So they get the ChatGPT to do the drawing, and then maybe make a few changes.
Do most of the tattoo artists, do they charge for the concept art? Development and creating that?
You know what's funny? I don't know from the ranges and stuff like that. Usually they'll have a rate, but I would imagine that the original drawings are probably part of that. I don't know the extent of it, but like a lot of these guys, especially the ones that are trying to say go human and don't go. And I'm not, this is not the tattoo podcast, but a lot of them are just like, let the tattoo artist be the tattoo artist. Don't just say, I want you to give me this from Sailor Jerry or whoever. And I want it to look exactly the same, but AI is going to fucking ruin a lot of things. And I'm getting messages from tattoo guys saying it's ruining tattooists.
Because I could see the AI art being used generally as kind of like a concept of what you would like, but then having the tattoo artist reinterpret that in their own style and way.
Same thing, though. It's, you're basically saying, all right, you put the prompt in, I want a old school Sailor Jerry style, you know, panther with a heart and a, make it look like it's, you know, look like in the vein of Sailor Jerry, and then they kind of spit the whole thing out, and then maybe you do a couple touch-ups. I was talking to my kid today. Sailor Jerry is one of
Like Doc Watson. He's like one of the, isn't he?
Yeah,
one of those,
all
like
those
old school
guys who created that, you know, that Navy style, old school, you know, 50s, you know, tattoo stuff. But I was talking about,
I'm on the Sailor Jerry website now because you mentioned it. I went to have a look. But yeah, instantly recognizable.
Oh, yeah. Him and Shanghai, I think it's Shanghai Anne or Shanghai Jane or something like that. And they kind of really kind of created that whole style, and then everyone's just ripping them off. And now you can just say, all right, I will do a, you know, do it in this style, and ChatGPT will be able to figure it out. It's easy to, there's enough reference on there that easy to go. I was talking to my kid about it. I saw her last weekend when we were visiting my sister, and we were talking about ChatGPT. And she said that the teachers have like informed the kids that, look, we know what to look for with ChatGPT. And if you, you know, if you use ChatGPT and there's ways to find out, even if you change a lot of what they say, it's still plagiarism. If you're caught using ChatGPT to do your homework. So then it makes you think about, like, you know, if we're using AI and ChatGPT to do our designs, is it plagiarism or not?
Sure.
Yeah. I mean, again, that's maybe at the moment where I think within a year's time that'll be, you know, it'll be indistinguishable from, you know, a human's writing style, for example. You know, it's scarily quick the way things are moving.
Yeah, I saw an article the other day that was talking about the repercussions of heavily relying, especially for students, on ChatGPT or some other AI for writing their papers and stuff. And the big issue is retention of the information.
Right.
Yeah.
Because you are kind of bypassing some of that work. You don't hold it as well as if you had gone through kind of the traditional route of doing the research and putting that information together in a meaningful way and writing a paper about it. Because you haven't done that work, you don't really hold on to it as well as you would otherwise.
But you could also say that about everything that uses AI. I mean, we sometimes talk about knife making. We refer to some things as the easy thing, like cutting something out or drilling the holes, or it's the dumb thing. Or we say lose that muscle memory. And when you're relying on something, hey, look, you know, I rely on the calculator on my phone. You know, it's like, exactly. I'm not getting out the times tables a lot of times. I know some people do.
Yeah, doing the long
but like
math.
If I got to cough it up sometimes quick and we're, you know, doing something fast, I'm going to pull out the calculator.
Right.
But I mean, it's a question of like the best thing about knife making now, especially custom knife makers, the people who listen to this, is you have the ability to create something handmade that's a value to somebody in the future. And I think that, I'm really optimistic about people being able to be focusing their creativity on something that they love and providing a value for someone that they, you know, that I think that this is the only way to be not redundant, you know, made redundant.
Yeah. Yeah.
But it's scary, man. I use AI for certain things, not for any kind of, you know, writing or creative stuff, but I understand why people would.
Sure.
You know, I understand why people would.
Yeah, I've been using it lately, mostly as a search engine in general for finding answers to stuff. But even still, you don't necessarily want to rely on it 100%, but in regards to kind of collating a bunch of different articles to help answer a question, it is very helpful with that stuff.
But even when I Google on my phone now, the first... thing is always like an AI generated sort of summary of various answers, you know. So there's no getting away from it, you know. It's just gonna be a tool that people use just as the calculator was, you know.
Yeah. I actually had a nice conversation with one of our listeners, our friend Jaden at Fox River Blades. He's a great kid. Unbelievable. I mean, you want to talk about inner fortitude. This guy was paralyzed in an accident, and he is like coughing it up. This dude is unstoppable. He's a what he's done with his life is remarkable. I mean, he really, really is a remarkable kid. He'd been listening to a First Day, and he was sending me a message. He did this drawing for a t-shirt, and it's a great drawing, but he had a problem rendering the color, and he's just put it through ChatGPT, and then the you know, the ChatGPT kind of fixed the color and stuff like that. And he asked me what I thought about it, and I said to him, like, you know, listen, I say what I say, but at the same time, you got to do whatever it takes. You know, I think he's, you know, at certain point, you know, you don't need, I'm not going to be, I'm not the monitor, you know, and I understand how things are, and people are at different points of their life, and people have different values and expectations, and I'm never going to judge you for, fucking him, I'm never going to judge him for anything. He can do whatever the hell he wants, frankly.
For sure.
But it was a really interesting conversation, because it's just like, he did the drawing, but he just needed the colors to be rendered a little bit better than he would have done it. Mm-hmm. And, you know, look, it's a tool. I mean, ultimately. Yeah.
Exactly.
But half the people who use them are full of shit. That's, yeah, you know, a lot of them are completely. Like bullshit guys, including a lot of knife making podcasts who just say, hey, do a picture of us, all three of us doing a podcast. You know, fuck you. Dude, I don't like that. I'm done.
Okay, I've got a couple of questions for both of you two before we go into microaggressions.
Mm, okay. Oh, baby.
Morocco. I wanted Damascus steel. Where would I get it? And Jeff, if I wanted repeatable edges when I'm sharpening, how would I do it?
Well, if I'm looking for stainless Damascus steel, our friends over at Damasteel have got us covered. They produce the highest performing stainless Damascus steel available in the world. It is a really well manufactured and chemically composed material that is both highly wear resistant as well as very tough. It's user friendly in regards to stock removal and heat treat. It's also great if you have the right tools available to you to be able to actually forge blades out of that material. And our friends over at Damasteel, if you go to damasteel.se and you put in Knife Talk at checkout after you set up an account and get some stuff ordered, you're going to save yourself 10% when you check out. So again, go over to damasteel.se to get yourself some high-performance stainless Damascus steel.
And when you need to sharpen it, you go to Tormek. Tormek _ sharpening on Instagram, tormek.com for all your sharpening needs. It's an amazing company that makes beautiful machines, and you can use the jigs. You don't have to use the jigs. They move slowly enough that you're not taking off too much material, and they're water-cooled, so you don't have to worry about ruining your temper. It's made me a better knife maker, and I am fortunate enough to say I got a nice message from my man Carl. Sometime in the fall, Carl and the Tormek guys are going to come to the shop, and we're going to do a little video. So we're going to spend a little time. Yeah, Carl's my guy. Dude, all those guys are great. Carl is hilarious, and all those guys, Sebastian, all those guys, I've now created like a real friendship with them. I think they're great. Jack and they ain't listen to this. Jack and Dave and all those guys are just terrific. Yeah. So I believe in them, and they believe in each other, and it's a really good company, and their customer service is awesome once again. So Tormek.com.
Thank you for the ad.
Swedish double whammy.
What'd you say?
Thank you for the ads. I just did a quick piss. Record timing.
Did you piss into your macro?
You didn't have to tell us that. Yeah, you didn't put it in a pint glass, throw it over your shoulder? Isn't that what they do with it?
Right, okay. What we got? These microaggressions.
Oh, all right. So here's... I was fooling around and somebody wrote something on one of the posts I was on. And I just felt as though there are these little things that people say, and maybe they're not meant to be passive aggressive, but they're just these microaggressions. Like, you know what I'm talking about? A microaggression is somebody says something, it's a little bit, and I'm going to give you some examples. So I put it on my feed. I did my stories a couple days ago, and I said, send in, knife makers, send in your microaggressions that people say to you in the comments, and they just don't sit right. Okay. Does that make sense?
Yeah.
And then the listeners of this podcast, you send them in too, and then I'm going to read them to you guys, and then we can kind of discuss them.
Okay.
First one comes from Paul Jansen. Paul Jansen writes, "This is a microaggression that somebody wrote. For the cost, I should never have to sharpen it. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Should good food also not make him have to take a shit?
Oh, that's weird. I mean, I guess.
I'm just like, I don't fucking get people. It's like, the car's really expensive, and you're never going to have to change the fucking oil or have it tuned up or anything. It's just like, it's not realistic. Nothing in the fucking world operates that way.
I'm still trying to wrap my head around the good food on the shit. Which I don't mind. I mean, like, yeah, it is true. If it's really good, maybe you should just stay there for a while.
Just really suck out those nutrients.
Here's another one from our man Kyle Heath says, what about the friends and family discount? That's a good microaggression.
Yeah.
That is a fucking terrible one. Ian Templeton says, you don't make your own Damascus? Now, these are microaggressions that these knife makers see in the comments that just, they're things that, they're not nice things that people say. He didn't say that. Mm-hmm. What do you think of any comments?
Similar to the these hand forged yourself, or it's all those kind of things, isn't it?
Right. AA forged handcrafted knife says, why is this so expensive? That's a good microaggression.
Yeah.
Ian Templeton once again, that's not real woots. Master of None put in, is that your real job? I hate that shit. You know, I feel as though microaggressions are also, people aren't meaning to be insulting, but they just happen to be insulting. Like, I work for myself, and people think that we're just scratching it, you know, and we're like goofing around, and this isn't like serious. Yeah. I hate that shit, and I've had to put some people in their place in regards to that. Like a guy, I wanted to go on a fishing trip, and I was just like, it was like a middle of the week. He's like, come on, you're your own boss, can't you go fishing? And I'm like, I have deadlines. This is a real job. This is not me just puttering around and like I'm not a trustafarian, as they say. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
And this is a good one from our man Stout Forge. You should go on Forge and Fire.
Do you get that one, Mareko?
Yeah.
Is the Forge and Fire thing kind of over? I mean, yeah, I don't hear it as much with people.
Over.
But is the show still going or no?
Oh, I'm sure the show's in syndication. They're playing old episodes all over the place. But
the heat's over, right?
Yeah. No, it's done. I was talking, I think, at Blade Show, I was talking to Doug Markaita. And so, yeah, things are going to be, I think his contract's up soon-ish. They're done doing episodes. And I think they still have some in the can. And I don't know what the fuck they're going to do for those makers that took that time to film the show, and it never fucking airs.
The last time we talked about that, I'd heard from someone that they played some of the episodes, but okay. I'm not sure the extent of. I mean, you've got it out there, you might as well. I mean, what else are you gonna put up there?
Right.
You know, so you got it in the tank, put it out. This one is, you just cut it out? That's not a real knife, LOL. I said that this is a double. This is a double. Microaggression, because the first part is, you just cut it out, as in, like, you know, the way you say that is such a
with scissors.
Anybody can cut it out.
Yeah. We can make a paper doll.
And then the second microaggression is the LOL as punctuation. Mm-hmm. LOL as punctuation is a giant microaggression, especially unless you're a child. But I honestly feel every time I see somebody write LOL, it's always like, you're a clown, LOL.
Yeah.
Or this sucks, LOL.
Just kidding at the end of a sentence.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's just an easy out. Yeah.
And I've said this years ago, I hate LOL more than anything. And I said, LOL is a plague in our language. And when you write LOL, I hate it. And somebody wrote in, maybe you should just, a few people wrote to me, like, well, maybe you're just being hard. This is how people communicate. And, maybe it's just, maybe it's just you. And then I responded with LOL. So they knew how I felt about it. And then I threw on how I threw the stank of how I feel on it and my response to them, so it made them feel bad.
That's which fucking funny.
Here's another one. How many hours did that take? Meaning, what's your hourly wage?
Yes, basically, yeah.
how many hours does that take is the best. That is just like, and it's the microaggression is always like, the in their mind they're thinking that they could do it.
Yeah,
you know, they're thinking, they're calculating how long it would take them to do it.
Mm. Yeah. Similar to, I've got a friend who could do that for half the price.
Right.
Yeah.
Do you have any, you guys have any microaggressions that you can think of that people write that you see?
To add on to one you were just saying, I have a friend who's a talented like builder. And at one point in the conversation one time, he's like, you know, I could do like what you do. And I was like, what? He's like, yeah, I could do that, right? And I was like, I don't know. Like, you slam nails and you built like a lot more people do what you do versus what I do. Otherwise, more people would be fucking doing it.
There is this real complete misunderstanding of the how skill is not transferable. There are parts of skill that's transferable. Like, if you can measure well, then if you can measure well, like I learned how to measure well when I was a metal worker because everything was down to almost like 30 seconds and you end up learning how to really be accurate. Yeah. Now that skill transfers over to carpentry. When I redid my kitchen, I needed, you know, very exact measurements. But like the physical act of forging or kind of understanding how something is going to work, or the skills that you know when something's going wrong and making sure that it doesn't get to the point where it's wrong, that's not transferable.
Right.
As experience. You want more? You want more, or you want to do something else?
Yeah. Is that just stock removal?
Yeah.
Just stock removal. That's the classic.
Yeah, that's a classic.
Yeah. I don't even know what that means either.
Carly wrote, so is this real Damascus?
Yeah.
And then she followed it up with, but why isn't it from Damascus? You know?
At shows, I've had, kind of to build on a different one that you said earlier, I've had people come up to my table, especially early on when there weren't many kitchen knife makers. People would come to the table and they'd see the work and they're like, wow, this is all really great. Why is it so expensive though? It's just a kitchen knife, isn't it? Like, Jesus fucking Christ.
You know what's crazy is there's a lack of perspective in regards to how people talk to each other. And I'm constantly surprised at, and that's part of how people read and people understand. But what, you know, like, perfect example is that I was doing something with Bob, and this woman wrote, I'm confused, and then gave us the Magna Carta on why she's confused. Now, she wasn't really confused. She was kind of trying to snare us into something. You know what I mean? Mm-hmm. You know that whole, like, you weren't really confused. You wanted us to say it because you're looking to see if we've done something malicious. You know, the way I read it, it was just like, you're trying to snare us into a gotcha situation, then you're going to end up saying, oh, well, you should have said it that way or something like that.
Yeah, looking for an easy win.
I mean, sometimes that always seems to me like there's a degree of hostility in the way people respond. But it is shocking how people talk to each other and not realize how things come across.
Yeah.
Did you know that...
Particularly online,
Did you know that the thumbs up emoji apparently is passive aggressive?
It's the digital,
apparently,
I'm with
the
you.
Youngsters. Yeah.
You know, I find the champagne glasses is pretty easy unless you're like an alcoholic and you don't want me to fucking... I do love the champagne glasses, but if I'm very well aware that someone's in recovery, I have to really like, are they in recovery? Are they going to be offended? Is that some sort of fucking disgusting thing to do if someone's in recovery?
It'd be sparkling cider.
Pretty much is then, yeah.
It's champagne as far as anyone else. I mean, you know, it's a champagne emoji, so it's like, you know... And then here's another one. Somebody said to him in person, where do you get the blades or handles? Do you just make just the handles and or do you just make the blades?
Right.
Yeah.
Here's another one. Ugh, a hidden tang knife. That's what somebody wrote.
Just ugh.
Ugh, a hidden tang knife. Here's from our man Reaper MFG. I could make that too if I had thousands to spend on tools. That's more than I hear that.
The tools do all the work, right?
It is amazing how when, you know, people really push buttons by saying certain things, and maybe some of it's just they don't mean to. I once had this woman who was a friend of a I donated a knife to this event, And this his aunt, this guy's aunt wrote, "I don't care what this is for. $500 for a knife is outrageous, and no one needs to spend this. And this is just fucking lit me up. I donated this knife for this charity, and this woman just decided that it was time to attack me for the pricing of the knife. And it was embarrassing to my friend because she was oblivious. She didn't realize that it would be relatively distasteful or hurtful to somebody reading that who just donated their time and their energy for something. And it was people fucking nuts.
Yeah. I think a lot of it is down to if you don't understand things, people generally, you know, look online or they look maybe at YouTube and things like that. And there's lots of videos of makers making, let's say, knives, for example. Because this is Knife Talk, and they make it look easy because in a 20-minute video,
right,
they finish this knife and it looks brilliant at the end. But they don't see the actual hours of hand sanding because it makes for shit content, you know.
Right.
So if you just look at it, you just see these various steps and go, "Well, I could do that bit. I could do that bit. I could do that bit. Therefore, I could do that. That's easy." But that obviously we all know that's not the case. But when you look at, for example, a video which is condensed down to that 10, 15, 20 minutes, it does look super simple.
Well, I think this is a symptom of armchair quarterbacking. Like, these are the same idiots who are like, "Oh, I could have made that catch, or I could have gotten that touchdown." It's like, shut the fuck up.
That's a NARP shit. That's a NARP shit.
And it's like, it would be just as crazy for somebody to say, like, watch or go to a fine dining restaurant or watch some of these competition shows and be like, "Oh, I could do that if I was in that kitchen." And like, you're out of your fucking mind. Because technique is so important. Experience is so important. Yeah. Like the touch and feel and understanding of the material, even just like grinding the material away and how that feels. And if you, and like, you can feel if you're taking it too far, or if you need to cool it off, or like all of that stuff is our skills and knowledge and understanding that are developed over years of practice. And so for somebody to say, "Oh, if I had those tools, I could do the same shit." It's like, you couldn't.
Today, I took my kids to the National Museum and Gallery, and there's pictures, there's sort of modern art, there's classics, there's all these things there. And my kids are looking at some of them, and I know what they're thinking. They're thinking, "I could do better than that. I could do it." And yeah, it is that thing. You know, my kids are six, you know, and some of it I didn't understand, put it that way, you know? And I think that's the thing, people realizing that they just don't have an understanding of something rather than just like, "Well, that's shit," or "I could do better."
No. But if you had never made a knife before and you made a YouTube video struggling through making a knife for the first time without any help, nobody would watch it.
No, exactly. I mean, it's not entertaining.
It would be bad. It would be like, and the comment section would be unbelievable.
Can you imagine?
Yes. Oh my God. I give anybody who's listening to this, make a knife for the first time, post it, and we will back you on YouTube or whatever. Yeah. We'll back you. We'll support you. We'll post it out. But you fucking make a shit, you make a, do a terrible YouTube video on how to make a knife for the first time and see what happens. Yeah. The other thing is, you know, the funny part is about the Forge and Fire thing. Since day one, I've been a metal worker for a long time. I know that I would not win because I know how to forge. I know how to make a knife. I know how to do all that stuff. I do not know how to do it in the context of cameras and interviews and conversations and then the pressure restraints. And the time limit scales. And they're trying to make you fuck up. And I know that would just do me in. And it's not a question of in the shop by myself, you know, I don't have all those pressures on me. No problem. Yeah. But within the confines of the way I, and I've never even thought of like, "Oh, I could do that." I always knew it. I don't think I'd make it through the first round. Hmm. I'm being honest.
Yeah. I mean, I honestly was worried about it when I competed because of all of those factors, especially even trying to mentally account for all of those things. Once you're actually there, it's a very different thing. Hmm. Yeah.
I've talked to a lot of guys who've gone on and they wanted to try their hands and they lost, and you know, it was a humbling experience and I give them a lot of credit for doing it.
Yeah.
Here's one from our man Riley Kirkpatrick. Somebody wrote, "This is too pretty to use."
Oh yeah.
That's pretty good. I bet you get that.
Yeah.
I bet you get that. I once in a while I get a message from somebody and they'll be like, "Yeah, I don't yours is not the knife I use every night." I'm like, "Why not? Well, I'm afraid. I'm like, what are you afraid of? Fucking use it. And if you break it or something happens, you send it back. I'll take care of it.
Yeah.
You know, I want you to use it. Here one comes from AA Forge, handcrafted knives. Oh, why didn't you use X, Y, or Z steel? And then facepalm. And here's one from Jordan Four Tough. Hey, you didn't forge that? Doesn't look like it. Mm-hmm. Oh, hey, did you forge that? Doesn't look like it. And then I got to do this one. This one is from Burger Knives. Must be nice. That's a fucking awesome microaggression. Must be nice.
Yeah. What? I'm always curious what people think would be nice.
Like you be successful.
They want to say something terrible, yeah, but they want to be nice.
It must be nice as in like you're doing so well or you're portraying yourself so well and I'm, you know, what about me?
Right.
I mean, it's like this. It's a little bit of one about me.
Yeah.
What's the last good one? What a great little hobby to fill in your off time. What do you do for real work? And then I guess that's it. Yeah, that's pretty much it.
I'm pretty sure your mom is a pretty good response to that one.
My mom doesn't know it's me.
Oh, my mom, she doesn't even know it's me. It's not on Instagram. No, I'm just kidding.
You're
getting it wrong, Jeff. You're getting it wrong.
Gallus humor, ladies and germs. Gallus humor.
Okay. Shall we call it a day?
Yeah. We're back, baby.
We're back. Back. Mondays are back as good as they ever were. We're coming very close to our 400th episode. I think we're three weeks away, maybe.
Oh, my God. What should we do? Let's just free
ball.
We're
doing fuck all different. Let's face it.
I think you should do yours from the bathtub.
Oh, yeah.
Can you imagine? That would be, you know what? If I'm back in the UK, I will, but I don't think I will be during that time.
All I want to hear is some like water.
The water sloshing and splashing around. The echo fart. Of the bathroom.
Yeah, yeah. I want to hear you squirting water out of your mouth. Mouth.
Yeah. Yes. But look, before we go, we need to tell everybody all about maritimeknifesupply.com. Always deals with belts and stuff. You know, if you get 10, you get 10% off, that kind of thing. No codes needed. One-stop shop for knife makers, steel belts, handle materials, tools, forges, kilns, and so much more. Go take a look. MaritimeKnifeSupply.com. Also Maritime Knife Supply on Instagram. Lawrence is a really good dude. I know he listens to the show. And if people mention any sort of tips or, you know, special tricks they've got with tools, Lawrence normally then gets it in stock. He's a really good dude. So, yeah, MaritimeKnifeSupply.com.
I'll try to think about something for the 400th episode. I'll try to come up with some fun stuff. And then the listeners, send in your questions. Send in some questions or good feedback, and that helps us out too.
It does. Certainly does. We are Knife Talk Podcast on Instagram. Questions or feedback, send them our way. We particularly like audio questions, and we didn't actually do any today. We've got a few in the bank.
Yep.
But send us audio questions via Instagram. They always work well.
There you go. Can't get much better than that.
Not much better than that. Mondays are back, baby. Thank you very much for listening. Bye for now. There we go. This, what's this thing you said about watching something Q? What was it called?
Oh, are we still in the show? Okay. It's Department Q. It's on Netflix. It's like Slow Horses, but it's amazing. It's really, it's a amazing series, this kind of dysfunctional detective in there in Scotland, and I'm not going to say anything more, but it's a very, very good, very, very good.
Who's in any?
I don't know anybody that I know. These are all Scottish actors, and they're great. And it's if you like Slow Horses, it's kind of like that style of like these kind of like misfits and losers solving this incredible crime.
I like that.
Okay. Really, really good. Like we're like bummed out that it's over.
Yeah, Slow Horses was really good. I like that.
Yeah, one. Amazing. This is a good. I mean, this is Department Q is very, very good. Okay. And now we're hitting up The Wire. We've never watched The Wire, so we're
so interesting.
You've never seen it.
I've never seen it either.
No, it's so far so good.
It's got to be 20 years old now.
Yeah, it's like, it's 2002. We were trying to figure it out. They were making all these 9/11 jokes, and I was just like, oh my God, Jesus Christ, how old is this? And Michael B. Jordan is in it, and he's like a child. I was like, how long have we been missing this one?
Wow. Okay, cool. I should watch that.
Have you guys seen Mobland yet?
Mob, sorry?
Mobland.
What's that?
No, I think it's on, it's been recommended. I think it's on Prime.
It's, what is it, Tom Hardy and a bunch of big names. I think Helen Mirren's in it.
Hugh Grant, I think, too.
Yeah, Pierce Brosnan.
Yeah.
It's really fucking good. But my favorite part of the whole thing is Tom Hardy's character. He's like the fixer for this mob family, and he just fixes all the fucking problems. And but the whole time, like, he can't be bothered by any of the terrible fucked up shit that's happening all the time. He's just like very even keel, always speaks very gently and quietly, no matter how gnarly whatever he's saying is. And I'm like, I'm laughing because in comparison to other kind of mob style shows I've seen, or crime family kind of shows, like The Sopranos, like everybody's fucking yelling all the fucking time. Tom Hardy is just even keel, quiet, and it's actually kind of a little bit more unnerving that he's just kind of fucking fine with all the terrible shit that's happening. It's fucking great. But it's a really good series. There's only one season right now. It's kind of a newer show, but I am excited to see the second season.
There you go.
Cool.
Also, just watched Sinners. Did you guys see that one? Michael B. Jordan.
No.
Is it good?
Yeah, it was interesting. It's a vampire movie. It's interesting. But, like, yeah, it was really interesting that, like, the way they framed it around history in the South, and, like, during, like, the I think the 20s, like the swinging 20s with Capone and all this shit. And yeah, it was good. There's a lot of great music in it. That's for sure. A lot of great music.
Stylized well, and yeah.
No.
There you go.
We're on season 5 now of Handmaid's Tale, but it's a slow process because Amy's away, and, you know, we like to watch it together. It's that thing, you know. It's like, but it's so good, so good.
Nice.
Anyway, it's a bit depressing, but it's good. It's good. Shall we call it a proper day now?
Yes.
Real day. Okay. Thank you all for listening again. We shall speak to you soon. Bye for now.